Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Wow, you guys, guess what? We're close to 300,000 downloads of the podcast. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
What?
Thank
wow.
You so- yeah.
We need to line up and get the book, too.
Yes.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay, I was going to introduce them, but they seem to have introduced themselves. Wonderful actor, author, director, producer, Blair Underwood on the line. Thank you for calling
Good morning.
In.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And also two wonderful authors, life coach, martial artist, perception extraordinaire person, Tanana Rizu and her husband, Stephen Barnes. Thank you for calling
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pleasure. Ooh. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having
Where's,
me.
Look, you guys did the woo woo for Blair, so I got to do it for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm doing it with you, Joy.
Okay.
There's a little bit of
a
mutual
little...
admiration society here. Blair really is one of the best people I've met in Hollywood and just a fantastic human being overall. It's been such a pleasure working with him. It really has.
Oh,
totally.
Well,
I thank you, Joy. You know, it's very mutual. And, you know, this is our fourth collaboration, our fourth novel together. So we've been doing this a minute.
Yeah, definitely. And I would hope that you continue because they're wonderful books. I had Tanana Reeves on. This is her third time on the show. First just by herself, and then with Stephen before talking about Cape Town. And we had a wonderful time on that interview. So this morning, let me just read a little bit from South by Southeast. This is I'll just read it and people will know. Who's starring in this? Chella asked me. Trust me, nobody you'd know. Chella grinned. Good. You never want big stars in a horror movie. No offense. Well, why not? Chella looked up at me as if I was crazy. Hello? Because they suck, that's why. Johnny Depp was in the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Kevin Bacon was in Friday the 13th. Don't count. At that time, there were nobodies. I chuckled, sipped from my latte. You sound like you've got it all mapped out. B and I came up with horror movie rules. Poor Bernard had been left behind in L.A., and I was afraid he'd been forgotten. The boy had transformed Chella from street geek to let's hear them, I said. Okay, one, no big stars. Two, it has to be rated R. PG-13 horror is a waste of film. Not a problem with this one. Freaknik would be lucky to get past the MPAA, considering the nudity and incest themes between the leads, who played a brother and sister. Just the thought of their scenes together made my skin crawl. Well, anyway, I'm not going to keep going because I know I see all the people in the chat room. I know who they want to talk to. But let me start with you, Blair. How did you meet up with Tanana Reeve and start working with them?
Yes, we're on we're on the love train, and that's how it started, really. I mean, I met Tanana Reeve before I met Stephen, when Tanana Reeve had written the book My Soul to Keep, which is a brilliant, phenomenal book about supernatural.
Yes.
But just look it up. I'm sure you guys have talked about it. But that's how I met Tanana Reeve, and she can tell you how she kind of reached out to me initially. But we connected, and I read the book, couldn't put it down, and we had worked together to get the rights. Set up at a studio here in Hollywood and developed it. Now, there's this thing called, appropriately so, development hell oftentimes in Hollywood, whereby you have a script or a story or a property like this book, My Soul to Keep, and it doesn't, and it's developed forever and ever. And I got frustrated with that process. So we talked, and I met Stephen along the way over the years, and I think it was Stephen initially who had the deal. Stephen or Tanana Reeve initially had the idea about doing some kind of serialized project or book novel together, and,
right.
And the way to
collaborate,
really
you really came to me with the idea for a collaboration, and Steve said yes, why not mysteries? I think that's how it happened.
I thought a mystery would be a fun thing because within the context of a mystery, you can do any other kind of story you want because the structure of a mystery is basically mathematical. I mean, it's Colonel Mustard with the lead pipe in the basement. You know, it's just a Dell logic puzzle. You can dress it up any way you want to, and you can talk about any kind of social themes or personal themes or anything else. So I thought that, and I'd always wanted to do, I've always enjoyed mysteries, and I'd always wanted to do kind of an action mystery thing. So I thought, you know, I could take
right.
my my understanding of that, and then Blair's understanding of the industry, and then Tananarive's phenomenal, you know, writing ability, because in a collaboration, one person generally takes lead on the actual writing of the first draft. Otherwise, it turns into kind of a stunt. And I could see the way all these things could fit together.
Well, I think you guys, it's a wonderful, awesome collaboration. I've read several of the books, and Tananarive, I've read many of your books, and that's how I first had you on the show, because I was such a huge fan of you. But
well,
now I'm a huge fan of this Tennyson Hardwick series. Okay, we got to get a little... there's some really hot scenes in here, okay? Hot sex scenes. Like, just me thinking about them, I am a little steamy right now. And then thinking about them in context with Blair Underwood that, as the character, whoo, have mercy, you know? So let me ask Blair, does this make you uncomfortable? I mean, and how have you dealt with this idea of being like a sex symbol? Not just in these books, but also in your films and TV work that you do. How do you handle that, and what keeps you centered and your head can still fit through the door type of thing?
Well, two different questions. In terms of career and life, I don't take it that seriously. I take it in stride. And how you say centered is, you know, my wife and we have three young kids. It's Saturday morning here, and they're running all over the place right now. And they have a way of keeping you grounded. In terms of the book, does it make me feel uncomfortable? I think the PC answer probably should be yes, but it doesn't make me uncomfortable at all. I kind of enjoy it.
Okay, all right. That's the idea, you know.
I don't think one of the nice things, we don't have a whole lot of charge on the issue of sexuality. It's something that is a delicious thing between adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I think...
Well, I remember... Steven, in the last interview you talked about, if we were talking about someone eating food, nobody would have a problem with the descriptions of the taste and the textures and all these things. But when we as humans start talking about sex, that we get really uncomfortable. And I think even in our society, we're more comfortable talking about violence, like somebody slashing somebody's throat and punching them in the gut and twisting their, you know, their eyeballs out. But when you talk about somebody caressing and touching and enjoying and a safe, you know, sexual, you know, environment, then people are like, oh, my God, shut that off. Turn the TV. Run away. You know, Steven's
I think Blair came to us with the idea of Tennyson having had a past in the sex trade. And I knew from having known people there that a high percentage of those people are damaged goods. Not all of them, but a high percentage of them. And so the idea of a character arc that would take Tennyson from being very damaged and not seeing himself clearly and doing things, trying to save other people as a way of trying to save himself, but that also implied a certain growth to the character over the course of the book. So it was an exciting possibility there, and also the chance to communicate with people who have issues in their own lives around these things and be able to say to them that there's a way out of that trap, that you're not broken, you're not perverse, you're not damaged, you're a human being looking for love, and you may have made mistakes, but there is still light.
I'm sorry, Joy, I was going to say, about this, what I'm excited about with this whole series, these four novels, is that, yes, they are very steamy. They are they have very sexual, hot, intimate scenes. I mean, I call it a 50 Shades of Black and Brown. Really.
I like that.
I'm going to tweet that right now. Sorry.
Yes.
But, you know, none of it is gratuitous. You know, to Stephen's point, you know, every time you see or experience a scene like that, because it definitely is an experience, you're in Tennyson's head. And you're seeing it through his prism, which is, in his case, they are damaged goods. And he's trying to put the pieces back together and redeem himself on a lot of different levels. I'm sorry, Tananarive, you were going to say something.
You know, the key to doing a series with joy and not getting tired of it is to feel like those characters are part of your family, a part of your life, and watching them grow. It would be really hard to get into Tennyson four books later if he was still that same guy from book number one.
No, he had to evolve, and I feel like in this book he has evolved. He's calmer. He seems he's willing to make different choices that he wasn't willing to make before. You know, very, very hard ones. And there's a lot of love in the storyline. Let's just forget about the physical sex, but there's a lot of love. There's also a lot of fear. I think Tananarive, you guys really have really pinpointed the subtext of the characters and they're just very rich and layered. Chella has developed his relationship with April has really it's on the edge. You know, it's trying to get there. You know, I don't want to give away the storyline. I'm going to be giving away some copies of the book. So if you guys are listening, follow at Joy Keys on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook. Also follow at Blair Underwood, at Tanana Reeve-Dew, and Stephen Barnes 1 on Twitter. They also have a Facebook page for Tennyson Hardwick, so you can look that up. But again, follow me because I'm going to be giving away copies of the book. Now, some other issues that were brought up in this book and other books of the series are racism. Now, Blair, you're in the industry. Do you feel today that there's any difference in the industry in terms of dealing with black men and sex scenes, because that's brought up in this book, or do you feel like it's the same as when you got in the industry?
It's definitely not the same. Yes, it is an issue. You know, there's a book that Cornel West wrote years ago called Race Matters, and race does matter. Race will always matter. We see that in our political landscape, especially during this presidential campaign in the last four years, especially. You know, Hollywood is not immune to it. You know, it's better. I mean, I think about the things that, you know, I've done in Sex and the City or L.A. Law back in the day, you know, many years ago, and I see many other actors being able to be black leading men. I see Taye Diggs on television, and and a great many of them. I can't rattle off the names right now, but it's great to see that they're able to flex a little bit just in terms of the types of characters and the dimensions and levels to those characters, so they're not just eunuchs, and they're not just the best friend. So we've come a ways in that respect, but we still have a long way to go.
Long way to go. Now, Tanana Reeve and Stephen, I mean, you, Tanana Reeve, you write the characters are not what we consider stereotypical black, you know, characters. Did you have resistance in the publishing industry when you started coming out with My Soul to Keep and these the different Blood Colony and things like that? Were they open arms, or was there resistance? Like, what are you doing writing this? You're a black woman. I mean, what was going on?
I feel so blessed, Joy, because I came at just the right time. My first novel was published in 1995, right, very soon after Waiting to Exhale. I think if I had come out even 2, 3, 5 years earlier, it would have been a much more uphill battle. But at that time in the publishing industry, and Blair, you probably remember too, in the film industry, it was just a different time. Black was popping. You know,
oh, man.
You had romantic comedies, you had action thrillers, and so in the book industry, those of us who came in Terry's wake got a real leg up, because the publishing industry was hungry for commercial novels of black characters. So I was very lucky to come along when I did.
Now, Stephen, I talked to you in the last interview about the fight scenes, and you have such a vast knowledge of all different fighting skills. Now, you and Blair, did you guys get hurt at all when you were practicing, when you were doing the book for Cape Town? Was there any injuries that we should know?
I hurt a little.
Did Blair hurt you, Stephen?
I would sacrifice one body for art.
Yeah,
he said you had to dive in that pool.
That was fun. I enjoyed it. I wish we'd had a week to work on that. I would have had Blair beat the living hell out of me. It would have been wonderful. He is so quick. He is so well coordinated.
Oh, really?
He picked stuff up very fast.
Very fast. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we worked on it as if it was a dance scene.
Yeah.
And people
well, you
who
talked about
seen
the
it.
Mathematics in it too. Go ahead. Sorry, Tananari.
No, but if people haven't seen those scenes from Cape Town with Love, they're on YouTube. You can look under the book, or from Cape Town with Love, or Blair Underwood. But just look for those trailers and those cut scenes from Cape Town with Love, and you'll be able to see Tennyson actually in life as the character with Blair playing the role.
Definitely check that out. Now, in this book, there's a couple really – there wasn't as much fighting, but they were very precise. And as you said, nothing was gratuitous. That's what I like. I don't feel like I wasted my time. Every page in the book was something interesting, something that moved me to the next chapter. So I wouldn't feel like there was a lot of fluff in this book. And the fight scenes in this, there was the one in a hotel, Blair, where you go try to go after the pimp. We all have kids. Do you think that you would do that in real life? Would you go physically after a pimp that maybe took one of your kids or brought them into life?
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah, I know that answer.
Come on.
In a heartbeat.
Yeah, I have no problem. Blair is all about family.
Okay.
Oh, man.
When your values are clear, your actions flow smoothly. And I think that one of the reasons we've been able to do books that have so much sex and violence is that ultimately we understand that what we care about is our family, the health of our family, that that violence only has a validity, the art of the warrior only has validity if it serves to protect the tribe, that sex is something that, that is about the continuance of human life and the building of bonds between people, bonds of love that protect children. These things can be perverted, they can be twisted, but ultimately we're searching for a way to find meaning in life, and Tennyson is trying to do that too. He's just trying to get the kinks out of his own wiring. He keeps running into situations where he's asking.
He keeps running into the obstacles all the time.
Yes.
I mean, you guys,
yes.
Tanata Reeves, you guys are constantly putting, he's really trying, I feel in his heart, he wants to overcome, but then, boom, something happens, you know,
but
there's an envelope under the door.
He's back in, pulling him back, but, you know, and it is, it's all in service to love, though. That's what's beautiful about it. There's nothing gratuitous about the violence, in my view, because it's in service to something that's bigger.
Well, just as
yeah.
a technical thing for writers out there, I feel that a sex scene or a fight scene should reveal something about the character, that when it's over, you should not feel the same way about these people that you felt before. You don't simply stop a story to put in a car chase or something where at the
right.
end of it, you have the same emotional charge that you had at the beginning. No, like any other type of scene, it should change something about the world. So it's a revelation of something that is happening.
Claire, do you agree?
Oh,
do you
man.
Agree with you?
Oh,
just
no,
recently
I,
you were on
absolutely.
Broadway and... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, absolutely, yes. And I was just going to say, one of my favorite scenes in this book, South by Southeast, is a showdown. I won't give it away, but I'll say this. It's a showdown at the Fountain Blue Hotel. And
God, I was going to bring that up, but okay, I won't.
All right, I'll just say this. All the characters involved in that showdown, the stakes couldn't be higher. And
sure.
so we can go off the chain with the action of it and where it goes and who's hitting who and who's doing what and who's cutting who and where it goes from there. You know, where does the chase go? Because everybody is invested on an emotional level, and that takes the drama to a heightened level.
Well, I think if you agree, Blair, that in acting and on stage, there's always the risk. You know, you have to be on that edge to for the audience to feel the intensity, the truth of your character. If you don't give it, if you don't give your all, if you don't go all the way to the ledge and maybe jump off,
sure,
nobody can
right.
believe you. I mean, do you agree?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah,
I mean, you were
absolutely.
Recently on Broadway. How was that experience different from being in front of the camera?
Oh, man. Well, I have to tell you, that experience, we did Streetcar Named Desire on Broadway for the last 5 months. It just finished at the end of July. And probably one of the top highlights of my career. It's because I started in the theater. My first love has always been the theater. And to be on stage and to speak great words, I'm a lover of great writing, great literary works. You got Tennessee Williams. In this context, I get to work with Tennessee, from Tennessee to Tanana Reeve. And but it's true. It's all about the words. And then as an actor, that's our medium as actors, to take that stage. The curtain goes up. No director or editor or producer can come in and cut and change anything. We get to take that ride from the time the curtain goes up to the time the curtain goes down. And you are on the edge. You've got to believe every word, every moment, or the audience doesn't take the ride with you.
And
yeah,
I have to say, just as a fan, Joy, and
mm-hmm.
I started as a fan, I'm still a fan, even though now I've known Blair for years, but he tore that up, Streetcar Named Desire. It was beautiful. The whole show, the cast was amazing, but there's something so electrifying about a live performance.
Yeah, well, let me talk to you about this book here, because you reference Hitchcock a lot, Tanana Reeve, in the book, North by Northwest. Talk to me about that choice.
Well, you know, every single book in the Tennyson Hardwick series is a riff off of a classic movie. We started with Casa Negra, In the Night of the Heat, from Cape Town with Love, and then South by Southeast. So we wanted to take that Hitchcock element of the suspense, a few elements here and there, I call it like sprinkles from the movie,
mm-hmm.
North by Northwest,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the case and mistaken identity. I think, actually, Steve, you came up with the idea specifically to use North by Northwest.
Well, I think that I'm pretty sure, I'm not absolutely positive, but I think that I came up with the idea that each of the titles should be a riff off of some Hollywood film. But basically, as in a literary sense, literary novels are having conversations with earlier authors. We're having a conversation
yeah.
with Hollywood with these books. We're saying you will not make movies that allow black people to be fully fleshed human beings with all the hopes and dreams and needs,
nuances,
and strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to fill in that gap. we're going to do novelizations of movies that you won't make.
Exactly. And that's literally what it is. So the cover is a movie poster. If you open the book, South by Southeast has a suggested MP3 soundtrack. So you can hear the soundtrack while you read. And absolutely, we have winks to Hollywood. It's our love letter, but also a little bit of defiance because we know there's so many more stories that could be told that are just really, really tough to get through the studio system.
Well, definitely. And one of the things I like that you brought up is you hinted at this issue of HIV/AIDS and where it came from, if I'm correct. Now, Blair, I know you do a lot of philanthropy work with different organizations. Are you still working with some HIV/AIDS organizations now?
I am. I actually have a clinic in D.C. Called the Blair Underwood AHF, which is AIDS Healthcare Foundation Clinic. And, you know, my work, just in a nutshell, started in South Africa with an organization called Artists for New South Africa, and to see how AIDS has affected, impacted, and devastated a good part of that community, it affected me in such a way I realized that we had to do something here in this country. And Washington, D.C., that's why the clinic is there, is ground zero for black folks, basically, who have infected HIV and AIDS. That's why we started that clinic there. But, yeah, I'll be involved as long as it's an issue, and it's going to be an issue for a while.
Well, I'm going to go back to the issue that we're all parents here, and let me ask Stephen or Tananarive, have you thought about how did you broach the subject about HIV/AIDS or STDs or sexuality with your children? Are you very open, or you give them a book? Do you say read on internet? What's your what's your
Well,
path?
We're lucky with our youngest. He's only 8, thank goodness.
I can tell you honestly that I thought about – I have a daughter who's now 26.
Yeah.
And for years, I knew that eventually she was going to come to me and ask me when was it appropriate for her to become sexually active. I knew that conversation was coming. And I figured that I'd be a coward to say, you know, go talk to your mom, you know. So I needed to be able to have an answer of my own. And what I said to her, and I thought about it for years, and what I said to her was that when you can focus your mind, your heart, and your energy to produce goods and services legally in the community, that for which you will be compensated sufficiently that you can put a roof over your head and food on your own table, you are adult enough to make that decision.
Mm.
Wow, that was good,
Blair,
man.
That was good, right?
Nah, man,
Blair,
I'm taking notes.
You're taking notes?
It's an adult choice. It is not a choice.
Well, you know, say it again, Stephen, so I can finish this note.
It's an adult choice. It is not a choice for children.
Ah, right.
And adult doesn't necessarily mean to – sorry, go on.
No. Yeah, well, I was going to say my oldest son is 15, and our daughter's 13, and our youngest son is 11. So, you know, the teenagers especially, and even the 11-year-old, they do human development, which we used to call sex ed in school right now, and we've had those conversations. And I'm very upfront about with my kids and in their face, and, you know, we talk about everything. That question has not come up, though. When will I be sexually active? You know, we talk about what it is, and they know they better not be doing it now. But the reality is that, you know, it's, their friends are talking about it, and at this age, some friends are probably doing it. So,
yeah, I will tell you that it's really scary. I have a daughter, and I will tell you in elementary school, she had already told me, I would say middle school, of some kids engaging in sex. And also the issue is that they're not aware that sex is just not intercourse, that oral sex is also sex. So I think it's important that parents be open and speak to children about sexuality, not to be afraid of it, that it's not bad, you know, and that it's a good thing. But as Stephen said, it is an adult choice. I think we have a caller on the line. You're calling from 804 area code. Do you have a question for the guest? Hi. We can't really hear you. Can you hear us? Okay, I guess you'll call back in. Well, you guys, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. I remember everybody, I'm going to be giving away a copy of the book South by Southeast. Follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook. Also follow at Blair Underwood, at Tananarive Du, and Stephen Barnes 1 on Twitter. You want to get a copy of this book that's coming out on Amazon, Blair, on the September 18th, correct?
Yes, September. Next week,
that's right.
We've been waiting. I also want to give a shout-out to Spelman College, where I am the Cosby Endowed Chair in the Humanities. I was disappointed this year having the time of my life. They're tweeting as we speak, so they're supporting us, too. And hope you'll check out South by Southeast.
And now, Blair, what projects do you have on the horizon? Did I hear something about a Macbeth, or are you doing that?
No, I'm not sure what's happening with that, Macbeth. We've been talking about that for years. Hopefully that'll come to fruition one day. But I just signed a deal with NBC Universal. It's a development holding deal. So I'm kind of in the lab underground creating with NBC. And, you know, I'll bring stuff to them and they'll bring stuff to me with the objective to be on the air with something next year.
Oh, awesome. Well, we definitely can't wait for that. And, Stephen, now you're a life coach. Can you tell the audience your web address and how they might reach out to you?
Well, diamondhour.com is the web address of where I do my self-improvement things, which are basically just sort of a boil over from my personal work. There's a free product there that I just created. It's the morning ritual for children with ADD and ADHD. And it's available totally free. It's at diamondhour.com.
Yeah, that's been a personal struggle of ours, and Steve really wanted to take what he learned and pass that on, because it's a growing issue for parents, and it's not something that just goes away if you ignore it.
No, definitely. I've done several shows on that. I actually had a clinical psychologist who has ADHD and has a clinic who specializes in that. So it's definitely a real issue. A lot of people, though, are fearful. They don't want to just drug their kids up. So I'm glad that, Stephen, you're offering some alternatives to that. Again, let me see if we have another caller here. Good morning. You're calling from 804 area code. Did you have a question?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Thank you for calling in.
Good afternoon. My name is Patrick McCoy. I'm originally from Petersburg, Virginia, and
I
live
Patrick.
In Washington,
D.C. Oh, yeah. Oh, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to speak to Mr. Underwood, if he's still on the line, and say thank you so much for all you do to bring such a positive light to our city.
Oh, Patrick, I appreciate that. I heard 804. I thought Virginia. I didn't know I was going to talk to somebody from my hometown of Petersburg.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yes, and I also wanted to let you know, we've never met directly, but I do know your parents. I just saw your father at Guildfield, where I'm still a member, even though I live here in Washington, D.C. I just stayed for a funeral there, and I saw him in the parking lot.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Small world.
Definitely a small world. Yeah, they're good people. I think I'll keep them. I'll keep them. My mom.
thank you, Patrick, for calling in.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Have a great day.
All right.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, Blair, so much for calling in. And please continue to work with Tanana Rizu and Stephen. They are wonderful people. I just wish you all much success. Thank you so much.
Oh, Joy, it's my pleasure. As long as they'll have me, we'll keep working together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
It's fun. And whenever you can make money and have fun at the same time and hopefully do a little good, it's all good.
Great. Thanks for having us on the show, Joy.
Oh, thank you so much. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Take care now. All right, guys.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with some wonderful people, actor Blair Underwood and authors Tanana Rizu and her husband Stephen Barnes. We were just discussing a Tennyson Hardwick novel. This is the fourth in the series, South by Southeast. I'll be giving away some copies. Follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter. Become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Again, thank you so much for your support. Close to 300,000 downloads. Blair and Tanana Reeve and Steve want all 300,000 people to please go buy a copy of South by Southeast. Please support black artists and all that they do, whether they're on the stage, literary works, dancers, musicians. Please support them. They need all their support that they can get to get ahead and to be respected and accepted. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Saturday. Tune in next week. I'll be talking about Cesar Chavez and the farm workers next Saturday, the 22nd, at 11 a.m. Eastern. Have a wonderful Saturday.